Sunday, Yutes Elul, Tovshin Ayin Dalet. This is the first of a special two-part synopsis, Shiurim of Chavos Halavos, Shar HaTeshuvah. Okay. So, we're learning Sefer Chavos Halavos, but we're not going to be learning the text, because then we wouldn't be able to do Shar HaTeshuvah in two shiurim, which I don't know if we can do anyway, but we're going to try. Chavos Halavos, virtually all of the Sefer, I'd say except for Shar HaTeshuvah, introduces basic fundamental concepts of Yiddishkeit, and he writes in his introduction to the whole Sefer that these are things that are really have not been talked about. By the time he came around, he lived, let's say, he wrote a Sefer 100 years before Rashi, 200 years before Rambam, 300 years before the Ramban. Nothing was said about Bitachon, about Emunah. Okay, there was Rav Sadia Gaon, Emunah Svedeos, but the things like Kaniya and Yiras Hashem and Avos Hashem, Chovos Halavos. So he felt a need, this is at great length in his introduction, he writes like an autobiography of what brought him to write the Sefer, what he saw, what he thought, the problem he came to solve. It's really a fascinating, the introduction to the Sefer is fascinating. Why should I do it? Let someone else do it. Who am I? Am I good enough? Am I bad enough? He writes about all his angst about in writing the Sefer. And the ideas in the Chavos Halavos, virtually all of the Sha'arim, we've learned in the Shurim all these years, we've learned Shar HaBitachon, Shar HaVodos Elokim, Shar HaKaniya, Shar Yichud HaMaise, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. They're really, even now, like 1,000 years later, they're new ideas. I mean, Bitachon, no one's quite sure what it means. Bitachon, obviously, you say, oh, Bitachon, yeah. But Chavos Halavos has a very singular, fundamental, essential shita in what it is, and we learn it, and Baruch Hashem, we've learned it, and we've learned it already many times, we've learned it, because you can't get enough of bitachon. Tshuva, Shar HaTeshuva, not to be confused with Shari Tshuva, which Rabbeinu Yonah wrote, Shar HaBitachon, Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Shar HaKaniya, Shar HaPrishus, Shar Ohav, HaAhava, Shar HaTeshuva. Tshuva, I don't think I can honestly say that to us, learning the Sefer, they'll be like, oh wow, I have no idea, you know, I have no idea what Bitachon is, really. I don't even know what Yichud HaMaisa means. And what in the world is Kaniya? So you learn Chavos Halavos and introduces new ideas, new concepts, and you say, wow, this is really fundamental. This is like, a Jew has to know this, which is why he wrote a Sefer. Shar HaTeshuvah to us is like, you know, yawn, like, tell me something I don't know. So, first of all, when he wrote his Sefer, like, this is before the Rambam, this is before Shar HaTeshuvah of Rabbeinu Yonah. This is like, what is tshuva? What does it consist of? How do you do tshuva? What does it mean to do tshuva? What is tshuva all about? So when he wrote the Sefer, he was breaking fresh ground. Except tshuva happens to be a subject which is dealt with in the subsequent centuries by many others, also in a broad way. So that's first of all. If the ideas sound like ho-hum, so you have to realize when he wrote the Sefer, and we want to talk about tshuva, because we're coming up to Yom HaNoraim, and we're learning Chavos Halavos, and we love, don't we, Mrs. Noel? We love Chavos Halavos. So, we're going to go through Shar HaTeshuvah in Chavos Halavos. You know, I don't know if we'll ever learn the text inside. Really, we should someday, because so you want to have the Sefer. We want to make a Siyum on it. But, so Shar HaTeshuvah, I think, to us, is at least ground that we're very, very familiar with. In contradistinction to Kaniya, even Bitachon, Yichud HaMaisa, Precious. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, it will be interesting, I hope I can make it interesting, to see the Chavos Halavos' take on certain things. We will see how he viewed it. And sometimes, Adarabba, when someone's coming to virgin ground, and nothing, before the Rambam talked about Charata ala Ovar and Kabbalah ala Osid and saying Vidui. This is all before that. This is all. He's coming from the Gemara. He's coming from the Gemara and from the Rishonim. Right? This is before the Rishonim. You know, in the Jewish history. This is before the Rishonim. This is like after Rav Sadia Gaon. This is after the period of the Gaonim. Probably the Chovos HaLevavos is a bridge between the Gaonim and the Rishonim. Probably. And his Rebbe was Rav Sadia Gaon, and he keeps referring to Rav Sadia Gaon, well, not a lot, but he refers to him, and he refers to his Sefer. Rav Sadia Gaon probably wrote the groundbreaking Sefer on Hashkafa, we would call it, the Munus Ledeus. Then the Chovos HaLevavos is a very early Sefer. We say the Sulz HaSharim Chovos HaLevavos like in one breath, but they're separated by many, 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 many centuries. Many. So again, to him, what he did in Tshuva was groundbreaking, was fundamental. He, as we know, loves lists and loves systems and loves to enumerate things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He loves analyzing things. He loves taking things apart and seeing what all of its moving parts are and how it works and how they interact with each other and how one thing leads to another and what you do and what you don't do. So it was fresh. And also, as I say, even to us, maybe as we learn it, we'll see some interesting things as it says what it is and what it's not, how he viewed tshuva. So, you know, it will be interesting. How did the Chovos HaLevavos look at tshuva? And he's talking fresh. He's coming from the Gemara, basically from the Gemara. Okay, so before we start... Maybe it should have been a four-part series. I always tend to do this. I tend to be top-heavy. Really, before we start, and I'll just say over his basic points. That's what I'm going to do. We're not going to learn the text. You have to realize, when we talk about tshuva, and doing tshuva, and it's all such a great matana from Hashem that we can do tshuva, right, as the song goes, we can do tshuva. I won't sing it for you, but it's a chiddush, tshuva. So, the basic question that everybody asks is like, what's the big deal of tshuva? What are you supposed to do? Keep on sinning? Like, of course you have to do tshuva. Of course you're going to do tshuva. You're going to stop. Like, you're going to catch yourself and you're going to say, what am I doing? And you're going to start being good. Like, so what's this thing called tshuva? Like, why is it a thing at all? Why is it a thing? If the Torah says don't talk Lashon Hara, so just because I talk Lashon Hara Monday, I can't talk Lashon Hara on Tuesday. Like, there's no heter for that. So, like, I don't have to do tshuva. I just have to stop talking Lashon Hara because I'm not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. So on Tuesday, I'm not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. What does it have to do with tshuva? Something, some entity called tshuva. So there's various things. First of all, that it affects a mechila. That's the first fundamental. When we talk about tshuva, we talk about... So what do you need, like, the whole Chovos HaLevavos? What do you need, the whole tshuva consists of this? Why does it consist of anything? It consists of stopping to talk Lashon Hara. Like, why do I have to do tshuva? And he's going to enumerate four components to tshuva in one perek. Four components. Charata, Aziva Sachet, Kabbalah, Vidui, and then in another parak he's going to enumerate, which is classic Chovos HaLevavos style, five aspects of each component. That makes 20, if you to do the math. He has 20 aspects, because four, he gives five aspects to each component. Well, just don't talk Lashon Hara. Why is there anything else? So number one is, it's a mechila. Hashem, it's a fantastic thing. It affects mechila, and affecting mechila has two parts. This is not Chovos HaLevavos. This is Rabbi Milner was talking. Please forgive me. Acquiring mechila, getting mechila, having Hashem be mochel us, it has two parts to it. One is we did something wrong. Just forget about the word punishment, right? Hashem is call it angry at us. We have a black mark. We have an X. We have an Avera that goes into that scale that our kids are going to bring home from school, right? So we have an Avera going into one side of the scale. So Hashem is Mochel. Then it even affects that we don't get punished, which is really chiddush, because someone could be mochel you, but you still have to suffer the consequences of what you did do. And you see, it doesn't help for the onesh of Beis Din, if a person was Mechal Shabbos, and he has to get a punishment, or if he did any lav, and he gets a punishment of Malkus, he could do tshuva, you know, and he still gets punished. It doesn't affect a mechila from the punishment of Lamata, of Beis Din Shalmata. And that's a great question, why not? And I think it's too easy an answer to say, because the Beis Din has no way of determining if he really did tshuva or not. Which would be a pretty good answer, which I answered for a couple decades of my life. And then I realized it's probably not a good enough answer. There probably is a deeper answer, but that's not for now. So number one is it affects Mechila. And that has two aspects. Mechila from the Etzem Avera, from the black mark, I did something against Hashem, and a Mechila that could actually take away my punishment. We're talking about now punishment from heaven. I'm giving the Beis Din as an example that that's not a simple matter at all, because it does not remove the punishment of a Beis Din for what I did wrong. A second aspect, so that's why you have to, so, oh, now you can't just stop talking Lashon Hara. You want Hashem to be mochel you for what you did on Monday, so now there's a whole process and components and parts, and you have to really feel bad, and you have to, right, well, that's what we'll be learning, to affect the mechila. So that's number one. Number two is tshuva. The chiddush of tshuva is that I can do tshuva, right? Because whenever I do a chait, I spoke about this in shul a few weeks ago, when I do a chait, I put myself in a different place. I'm that much further from Hashem, and it's metamtem the lev. This is something the Rishonim say. And it puts me in a place, and you know, I'm not the person I was yesterday. So I have bechira. You know, bechira. Doing tshuva is a chiddush. Hashem says that you're not going to be saddled with what you did yesterday. It's not going to drag you down. You have the ability to break free. Maybe it dragged you down, but you have the ability to lift yourself up, no matter how much it dragged you down. So that's number two, the idea of this thing, this entity called tshuva, that you have the ability to better yourself, because you still have bechira, and you can climb out of the hole you've dug. That's number two. Number three, it's a mitzvah to do tshuva, so that may be an answer, maybe not an answer, because still, again, like, I'm not allowed to talk Lashon Hara today, so that's not a full answer. Number four is you can actually undo the past, because you're that much further from Hashem, and you actually the process of tshuva, and the Chavis HaLodos does speak this out. Now already, this is what the Chavis HaLodos says: the process of, quote, doing tshuva brings you close to Hashem, and you regain, like if you imagine, like you put yourself more distant from Hashem by violating His word, by going against His will, by being moreid than Hashem. Whether it's b'mezid or b'shogeg, you weren't careful, or even you didn't know if you should have known, all different degrees of avera. So the process of tshuva, and that's why it has so many parts and components and rules and emotions involved, right? You just can't stop talking Lashon Hara. You want to regain lost ground. You want to draw closer to Hashem. And the tremendous chiddush of tshuva is that the process of tshuva draws you closer to Hashem. And the Chavis HaLodos says this at the end of the last perek. Let me read his words. Find it right now, I'm sorry, but he essentially says that the gates of tshuva are never closed, and if you say, you know, I want to get close to Hashem again, so you will always be able to. And that means, because the process of tshuva indeed draws you closer to Hashem. Okay, in the introduction, he starts off like he does every shahr with a psicha. And he, so, He says everybody's chote. I mean, you got to have tshuva. Hashem had to do this for us. Because every person's chote, and he says a very interesting thing. He says every person ultimately is somewhat negligent in his service of Hashem. So we know, yeah. Why? Why? Well, because he says something very interesting about a person. He says a person is made up, a person finds it very hard to be consistent. The way Hashem made up a person, he's full of different motivations and full of different midos and things that motivate him, and sometimes they're good things that motivate him, and sometimes objectionable things motivate him, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad, and he's just a jumble of people are moved by different things. People are not single-minded. People are broad. People have interests. People are... Hashem made a person a very complex being. So at some point, you know, it's very hard to stay. Adarabi, he says in his Hakdama, that a person is inclined towards sin. And he brings down many psukim, Yetzer Adam L'Arminu Urav, and he brings down a few psukim, saying that a person is drawn to sin, left to his own device. That would be almost the natural state of man, because he's a physical being, and that's always going to predominate over his spiritual side, as we see in Shaar Avodas Elokim. He makes the same point, and he explains in more detail there why, that the Gashmius will generally, unless a person works on it, be go there. So, again, and from this perspective, that, you know, even if you focus and you overcome it, but that's with your midah of patience, but then you're nervous about something. He says a person is so complex that he's bound to fall, and he's bound to be negligent in serving Hashem in one of those aspects. That's basically the Hagdama, the psicha, the Hagdama to this shaar talks about the necessity of tshuva, and it's good. Hashem had to give it to us. That's wonderful. Then he talks about different types of people: a tzaddik, a middle guy, a tzaddik. Perek Rishon. In the first perek, he starts off. He makes the point again. He says, "You know, something was clearly missing. It's not just a question of, oh, I did this wrong, and now I'm not going to do it again. I promise. There's a reason you did something wrong. There's a reason you were nichshel. There's a reason you sinned, and you can't just ignore that there's a reason." You have to, and then this is like typical Chayvus Halvavos analysis, that you have to get at the fundamental and reason you were chote, and therefore as he goes through the process of tshuva and tells us what it consists of, it will be to one of the things that this exhaustive process, which is so full of these parts and components, and it will ultimately allow the person to fix up what was wrong, because he had to have something wrong, something, so he has to fix that up. He can't just stop doing the action. So I guess maybe that's another answer to what we said, the reason that to the original question, that it's not enough to say, well, I'm not allowed to be chote on Tuesday, so I'll stop, because we have a problem here. And it's the process of tshuva not only I said the process of tshuva draws you closer to Hashem, but based on what he says in the first perek, that people are naturally negligent, as he says in the Hagdama, in the introduction. So then he says, you know, people, you could restore what was missing through the process of tshuva. And actually he defines tshuva in the first perek that way. He says, the tshuva is, he says from the word, hashavas masha'avad mimena. He's restoring, like Hashavas Aveda. So tshuva is restoring what was missing from your avodas Hashem. Something was, that's his take on the word. You're restoring, you're making a hashava, your hashava, hashavas aveda, hashavas anything. So hashava, tshuva is you're restoring what was missing, something was missing from your avodas Hashem, and that's what you're restoring. Because there's no other reason why a person would rebel against Hashem, would abandon Hashem, wouldn't serve Him with totality. There has to be a reason. Maybe the reason is ignorance. Maybe he got irrational. Maybe his taivus got the better of him. Maybe he has bad friends. Maybe he has bad influences, not just friends, other influences. So that's how he defines it in the first parak in Shaar HaTeshuva, to restore what's missing from your avodas Hashem. Then he says an interesting thing. He says, if you didn't do an mitzvah saseh, so it's not that hard to do tshuva. He implies you don't even have to go through all the processes. He implies it. He doesn't say it, but he implies it. But if you violated a lav, Hashem said something's wrong and you did it, then it's much more difficult. And it could be you're going to have to, act in ways that you wouldn't, normally act in your normal life, because you have to get the poison out of your system. If you didn't do an asay, you don't necessarily have poison in your system. I guess, one could take issue and talk about that a lot, because if your reason for not listening is a rebellious attitude, then you do have poison in your system. But he does not go into it, and he doesn't discuss this split at all for the rest of the shahr. He just says, if you don't do what you were supposed to do, so go do it. But if you, and he compares it to nutrition. Probably half the room here is like a nutritionist. Yeah, no? Who's a nutritionist? Come on. Anyway, he compares it to someone got ill because of something he ate. He says, if all that happened is that he didn't eat healthy food, so his body got worn down, so he has to start eating healthy and he'll restore his health. But if he ate harmful food, injurious to his health, then he can't just start eating normally. He has to heal his body. He has to get out the poison. He has to get out what is harming his body, and he has to take maybe extreme measures. That's sort of the same as with sin. So that's what he says. He implies that the ikka work of tshuva is for those types of things, for violating a lav, not an asay. I'm not sure. He doesn't come back to that chilek, but that's what he says in the first parak. Maybe that's what he holds. Maybe he holds if you don't do an asay, you don't necessarily have poison in your system. Maybe you have vatzlus. I don't know. You have something in your system. It's still true what he said in the hakdama, that you have something. There's something wrong. There's something wrong that you have to restore. Maybe you're rebellious. Maybe you're lazy. So that's not good. If you're lazy to do avodas Hashem, so that's not a good thing. So you have to get that out of your system. I don't know. It's not clear to me what this chiluk that he makes, how deep does it go? Perek Beis is, he just says, listen, there's different types of doing tshuva. You could pay lip service to doing tshuva. A person who doesn't work on himself or herself, and he's going to do a chet whenever the desire is strong enough. And then he'll have charata, and he'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, but then he's just going to do it all over again. A person who's holding by that madrega, not working on his self-control, so his tshuva it just won't be a lasting one. It'll be like almost a joke, because it'll just tshuva chet, tshuva chet, tshuva chet. It'll just be on this bouncing ball of tshuva chet. But a person who struggles with chet, who doesn't want to do it, who resists chet, I should say, who resists chet, and and sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses. So there, tshuva will. his tshuva will of necessity, right, he'll want to do better. Right now he's winning some, he's losing some, he has his scorecard. Hashem certainly has his scorecard. But he'll do better, and he'll be determined to do better, and there's not much more chance his tshuva will be sincere, because he already has a modicum of control over his desires, so he just has to, you know, pull himself together and do better. You know, you're determined to do better. The third type is a person who really is in control, except he falls, you know, like as we just learned, because everybody falls, people will always, will be inconsistent. People find it hard, you know, it's an abstract idea, being frum is a little abstract, and, you know, you can't keep up the standard demanded of you, so you fall. So such a person, his tshuva will really have deep, deep regret, and he'll reawaken himself in Avodas Hashem, because he'll think about what he did, and he'll reflect upon the seriousness of his sin, and he'll have a deep-seated regret for what he did, and a determination, and he'll start planning his life not to do it again, and not to be in the same circumstance, so he'll do it again. And that's the third, the degree of tshuva. So the first degree is basically, he says, worthless. Kamat worthless, where it's just lip service. I will say almost worthless, because you never know when lip service will be fanned into something more than that. But the first one is with, okay, lip service, and the second kind is you win some, you lose some, and he's determined to be better. But the third kind, ironically, it's an inverse proportion to the amount of chet a person has. Right? If I say who needs tshuva the most, you know, who needs it the most is the biggest sinner. But he describes the reality that the reality is that the biggest sinner, the tshuva won't even help him, because he'll do tshuva just superficially. And then the second and third degree. So the third degree is basically someone that barely is chotei, but he's nichshal. Like once in a while, he's nichshal. So he'll do the real tshuva that we're talking about. That's Perek Beis describing. Yeah.
I heard that a person who's done tshuva for a sin always sees his sins before him for the rest of his life, and always does tshuva for it. Which I don't understand. If a person did tshuva, he did it, and he's free of it. Why must he constantly bear this guilt for the rest of his life?
If the kavana there, I'm sure, is that he bears it in front of him. See, the Torah doesn't want anybody to walk around on a guilt trip. Right? It's not that he should feel guilty. That's not the reason. That's not the purpose. That's not what it means. That's what you're asking. Like, what's the point? The point is, it means, V'chatosi negdi somid, that's the pasuk, V'chatosi negdi somid, is that he's always checking himself if he's developing that flaw again. He's being zohir, that the Masil Sishorim talks about zahirus, and he has something to, he says, you know, I have this flaw, I had it in the past, and by having the Avera constantly in his memory or in front of him, as it says, it means he will always be bodek himself to see if he still has that flaw. Did the flaw creep back when he wasn't careful? You know, I worked for 3 years on my gaiva. You know, and then I, okay, you know, Baruch Hashem, I think I'm doing okay, which is pretty gaivadik, I guess. But you know, I worked on my laziness for 3 years, and I think I'm doing okay. And then, you know, a half a year later, he has to catch himself and say, you know, am I showing the same strength as I did when I was trying to climb out of Atlas? So the idea of Chatasi Negdi Samid is to use it as a measuring rod. And okay. Now we're up to Perek Gimel. In Perek Gimel, and this is like, again, typical Chovos Halvavos, he says, you're not going to be able, just like if you remember Perek Beis and Bitachon, it's, you're not going to be able to have Bitachon unless you realize seven things. Right? That's Perek Beis. And he reiterates it in Perek Gimel. And he goes through the seven things, and he says, you won't have bitachon. And you say, oh, I have bitachon in Hashem. But then you start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do I really believe this? Do I really, have I really internalized this? Do I believe this fully? Am I ready to swear that this is the case? Hashem wants only what's best for me. Yeah, like, you know, like, really? Really? So, and that's what you have to work on. You want to be talking, you have to work on realizing that the seven things of Perek Beis are true. Here too, Perek Gimel and Shar HaTeshuva is that you're not going to be able to fully do tshuva, which again will have four components in Perek Dalet, and five aspects to each component in Perek Hay. You won't be able to. You'll be able to stop sinning, maybe. But you won't be able to have that process called tshuva, which does all these wonderful things I talked about a few minutes ago, unless you realize seven things. And again, he likes the number seven. You won't be able to. You won't be able to. And so I'm going to tell you all seven things. It's going to take, it won't take that much time, but I'm going to enumerate the seven things, because here I can't give a synopsis. I have to say the seven things, because this is important. This is essential. It's essential because the Chassid Lubavitcher said it's essential. He says you won't be able to do proper tshuva unless you realize seven things. Number one is that you did something wrong. If you're, just to be on the safe side, let me do tshuva. Wasn't really wrong. Still better than the other guy. How bad could it have been? No. That's not going to work. You have to, it has to be clear. You can't do tshuva. You can't really regret, because that's going to be one of the components in Perek Dalet. You can't ask for mechila, which is also one of the components in Perek Dalet. You won't be able to unless, you know, your husband comes over to you and says, well, I'm sorry, but you got to understand why I did that. So you want to hit him over the head with a rolling pin, right? You want to come over and say, I did something wrong. I was wrong. Period. Not I was wrong, but I can explain myself, and you have to understand where I was coming from. No. I was wrong, period. That's number one. Number two is you have to know how bad your avera was. If you, Hashem, you have to realize you violated the will of Hashem, the Melech Malchei Hamlocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives you all the things he talks about in Shara Bechina, and who created you, and he's the Melech, etc., etc. You have to realize how wrong your deed was. Number one was to acknowledge that you did something wrong. Number two is to recognize the full nature and consequences of what you did. Again, these are all things. If you can't do all seven things, it's like saying you won't have full bitachon without the seven things of Perek Dalet, of Perek Beis, without realizing the seven things in Perek Beis. So here you won't be able to do full tshuva with all of its beautiful effects and all of its beautiful totsa'ot, and it brings you back to Hashem. And the Rambam talks about the Baal tshuva as being like so. He will talk about in a later perek who's on a higher madrega, a person who did full tshuva or a person who never sinned. And the answer is not so simple, because tshuva leapfrogs you like into the hands of Hashem. It's really a tremendous experience. That doesn't mean you should do an aver so that you can do tshuva. No, it's not even so funny, because there's a Mishnah Maseches Yuma that says Ha'omer Echta V'Oshuv, someone who says I will sin and do tshuva, Ain maspikin biyodo lasos tshuva. Hashem sends obstacles to prevent them from doing tshuva, which means it would work. It would work. But Hashem doesn't let it work, because it would be a disaster, obviously. So Hashem sends obstacles and doesn't allow him to do tshuva. That's his punishment. His punishment is that Hashem doesn't allow him, just like Hashem didn't allow Paro to do tshuva. So that's his punishment. Hashem won't allow him to do tshuva. So for full tshuva, that's number one, and that's number two. Number two is to realize how wrong it was, how offensive it was, how incomprehensible it was that you violated Hashem's will. It wasn't just wrong, it was, oh my God, what have I done? Number three is and this is Chiddush, and he's not ashamed to say it, to realize that there's a punishment. And the Chavis Halalah says, and he doesn't, he's not ashamed, he says, if you don't know that a person is punished for his deeds, you can philosophize from today till tomorrow. You're not going to really regret what you have done. If there are no consequences to what you have done, so you say, oh, but I went against Hashem. No, it's not going to work. Not going to work. He says, you won't be motivated. Very, we know from other Shorim and the Chavis Halalah, very keen insight into human nature, very deep insight into human nature. He says, you won't. Just like Lamar, again, I'll zustel bitachon. In bitachon, he says, one of the major fundamental prerequisites for bitachon is to know that Hashem knows what you're thinking. And we learn that and we always go, huh? What does one thing have to do with the other? He says, you won't have bitachon, you'll always fool, and we explained it, you'll always fool yourself. You'll always fool yourself, because you'll say you have bitachon, and you really don't. But if you know that Hashem knows what's in your kishkes, Hashem knows what really motivates you, and Hashem knows what's really, what you're really thinking, and what you're really relying on, and what you're really calm about, and what you're really stressed about, deep down in your kishkes, if you don't realize that, you won't really have bitachon, because you'll always stop, because you won't go further, because you'll convince yourself that you have bitachon. Same here. Interesting insight, and believe him. If you don't think you'll be punished, by the way, schar va'onesh is one of the animamins. It's a fundamental of Jewish faith, and the second parasha of Kriyashma is Kabbalah's ol mitzvahs in terms of schar va'onesh. And it's not like, you know, carrot and stick just to motivate us. It's very important. It's nice if we wouldn't need that, you know. It's like it's nice if we wouldn't want to go to Gan Eden, and it's nice if we wouldn't only have Yiras HaOnesh, but Yiras HaRomamus. But it doesn't work. So he says number three is to realize that you will be punished for it. And then you're going to have, then believe me, he says you're going to have regret, and you're going to ask for forgiveness, and you're going to be as sincere as it's possible for a person to be. That's number three. Number four is that Hashem, and again, if you don't have these realizations, you're not going to really do tshuva. Again, really do tshuva is really the essential tshuva. That's what we should have called the class. The essential tshuva is the fourth parak. It's very technical. This is maybe not a way to learn it. I don't know what I'm talking about. But you have to learn it really inside and see his beautiful words. The essential tshuva is parak 4 and 5, which is the four components and the five aspects to each component. Number 4 of the prerequisites to be able to do a full tshuva is to know that Hashem is watching you. To visualize that Hashem is writing everything down in the book, and your sin is not going to be disregarded, and your sin is not going to be forgotten, and your sin is not going to be tolerated, and what does Hashem really care if I X, Y, Z, or Hashem has other things to worry about? No, he doesn't have anything to worry about. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. Hashem cares about what we do. And, you know, if you learn some Nefesh HaChayim, if you've ever learned Nefesh HaChayim, he like really dramatizes how Hashem cares about what we do, and Hashem set up the universe, that the whole universe is based on what man does. So he certainly cares about what we do, because we, and Mrs. Sharma really says this in his Hakdamah too, we can mess up the whole Bria. Mankind could mess up the whole Bria. It's not just messing up mankind. We mess up everything. So Hashem has an interest in us. Hashem, so that's number four. Number one is to realize you did something wrong, Nekuda. Number two is to realize how wrong. Not, Number three is to realize it, punishment. That's childish, it's not childish. Or maybe childish, but trust the Chavis HaLavas. Without that, you won't be motivated to really, really, really uproot your problem. To really, really regret your problem. To really, really change. Number four is to really visualize that Hashem is watching you and everything is recorded. I mean, even recorded is a silly, childish term, but that's how we visualize it, that Hashem is writing everything down. Obviously, Hashem has no need to write everything down. But Chazal and the Gemara use that
depiction. The Sforim, right? Sforim Nechtoven. V'chol ma'asecha b'seifa Nechtoven, right? Perkei Avos. So that's a good way for man, that's how our minds would grasp that idea, that someone's sitting and writing everything we do. And nowadays it's very easy. Just go to any store and ask for that videotape and watch yourself picking out something from the store. And you go, I can't believe I acted like that. I can't believe I ignored that person that asked me for help. I can't believe I did, I can't believe I didn't put back the merchandise in the right place. I just left it where it was. And you're watching stuff on video. That's what you're going to do. And ain't no popcorn there. You're going to have to watch everything you did. And it's really easy to visualize with video. I could. I don't do it. I promise. But I could sit in my office. There's a video, because of certain gnevas we've had in the past, there's a video in the shul. I could sit in my office and watch people learning. I can watch them all day. I mean, I wouldn't want to watch myself, I know, so I don't watch others. But you see, you watch a video and you say, my goodness, I sat and I learned for an hour. I'm literally schmoozing. I don't know how much coffee I drink. That's number four. Number five is, these are deep. No, I'm sorry I did this. You have to learn it inside. It's deep. It sounds so superficial when I say it. Number five is to truly believe that the remedy is true. That you can climb out of everything you've done and this could correct your errors. And so what's true? It's going to be in Perek 4 and Perek 5. It's going to be the essential truth of what it is, which I see we're not going to get to today. But you have to believe, because you won't take the steps if you think all hope is lost. If you don't believe in tshuva, you don't believe that Hashem is Rachmav al kol ma'aso, then He will be mochel you if you do tshuva. He'll be mochel the past. He'll forgive you. You'll be punished. You'll climb to a higher place. You'll erase the past, etc., etc., etc. You're not going to do it. You won't be motivated enough and you won't do it. You have to really believe that it's going to work. And you say, but why? See, if we learned it inside, we could delve into exactly the why. Now, I'm just telling it over to you. That's number five. You have to really believe in it. Then you'll be motivated to do it. Number six. Number six is so typical. That's the fourth time I said that. Number six is so typical. Chavis Halvavis. And that is to, and that means if you don't think about this, you won't be. You got to trust the Chavis Halvavis. If you don't think about this, you're not going to be able to do full tshuva. He says you have to think about Hashem. You have to think about how much Hashem has done for you, and how horrible it is that you have violated His will. You rebelled. You should be grateful to Hashem. You should be so overflowing with gratefulness, with gratitude for all He has done for you. And just look at the Birchas HaShachar if you think you have a miserable life. Right? So, and you're not blind. And you have clothing to wear. Malbish Arumim. And you're not homeless. And you're not paralyzed. Right? You go through, just say Birchas HaShachar. Right? So, to think about that and how obligated you are to do the, just think about the degree of obligation and the utter irrationality of Meshalim Ro'a Tachas Tova. That's number six. And number seven, number six is to think Shar HaBechina thoughts, how much Hashem does for you, how much He has done for you, how that should create nothing but gratitude, and Hashem wants you to acknowledge that gratitude by doing His will, and how unthinkable it should be. Someone saves your life. Someone saves your life. Someone saves your child's life. Someone runs out into the street, pulls your child away from an oncoming car. You walk over and you slap him in the face. Right? Right? So that's what it is when I sin against Hashem. I have to think of myself that way. That's besides number one, two, and three about specific hate and specific horribleness, but this is a more general philosophical abhorrence of what I did. Like, my goodness, I should be grateful. I'm a Shalim Ra Tachlis Tova. We all, you know, we look at some of this from Shalim Ra Tachlis Tova, we're appalled. I can't believe it. I can't believe after I lent him the money, after I went out of my way to get him a job, after I did this, he turns on me. I can't believe it. How could a person do that? That's what we're doing to Hashem. That's what we're doing every time we sin. We're turning around and we're slapping Hashem's face. That is what we're doing. That's what we're doing, and we should be nothing but grateful. Number seven. Number seven is resolving seriously to take the steps needed. I will do what's necessary to stop myself from falling into this trap again. This is not yet the technical Kabbalah ala Osid. This is more conceptual. I will do what's necessary. I am resolved to change, to keep away from the things I have gotten used to doing. So here's what we have to realize, these seven things. To acknowledge that we did something wrong, to realize that how wrong it is, the consequences of sin, that we're responsible for our actions, and there will be retribution, that tshuva is real, and tshuva works, and we'll be able to climb out of it. Okay, I skipped, right? And Hashem is watching us. Nothing is forgotten and tolerated, but we think, well, does Hashem care? He cares. The irrationality, the utter, the not menschlichkeit of rebelling against Hashem after all He does for us, and to resolve. Staying away to resolve, saying, I'm going to get it right this year. I'm going to get it right. I know what I do, I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to do what has to be done. Just that, before it becomes real, we're going to talk about in the fourth and fifth parak how to make that real. But just conceptually, these are the seven things you have to be ready for in order to move on to the next step and do children. Okay.